Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
Responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on the 17th day of November 2023. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and praise the good Lord, it's the last day of Pledge Week. Hopefully it'll be a good night. We certainly could use one. And in fact, the numbers are, I'll give them right out, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. And we want to just start off by saying, it's the figures.
Oh,
it looks like we're, yeah, we're having... We're having some technical difficulties already. I don't know if you guys can hear us out there, but these things happen. And so anyhow, hope if you can hear us, you can hear us. You hear that? I hear a noise coming out of there. It's me turning. Back in the back, way back in the... Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. And back in the phone booth... Back in the phone booth back there, you have none other than, well, my mighty men. You've got Frank, Matt, and who else? Let's see.
Randy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Randy.
I wanted to see if you was awake.
Yes.
You know who that is, don't you? It's the squeaker. It's little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Now... Who is that out there making all that noise? That's
Pastor Ernie. I have my kids and grandkids here. You can hear them in the background.
Boy, can I! It's very loud. Yeah, we can hear them.
I'll move to another location. Hang on.
Alrighty, yeah, I would move to another location. Alrighty, so now I wanted to start off by saying here. You know, yesterday we joke around a lot around here. But yesterday, as I was joking about, especially Jimmy the Greek, it was his birthday. By the way, today's his birthday. But I want to give a heads up to three fellows here that have been working here. Folks, as you know, they've been putting in a whole new system. And when I come in here at 10 o'clock at night, three fellows that have been here since 2 o'clock in the morning, they've been here all day long. Working and trying to get the system up. It's been very, very hard converting over. And this is why we've been having a number of those technical difficulties. But I want to give heads up to Josh Booth, to Rob Chesley, and Jimmy the Greek. These three fellows have been putting out, you know, going far, far There's that's McTernan. It's got to be McTernan. So just heads up to you fellas, I want to dedicate the program to you and to my men in the back booth there that are working so hard. And hopefully the phone lines will ring tonight. And hopefully on this last night, in fact, I think what I'm going to do tonight is go over in the description. John. Okay.
Yes, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, try to be quiet. You won't realize how much noise you're making. So now, here, we've got... Right. I'm going to read...
I'm in a private room. Hang on.
Folks, you're hearing this stuff live. This is... You can't make this stuff up. This is live, right here, live radio here. Okay. Now, I wanted to go to Philippians chapter 4. And I want to read starting in verse 11. Not that I speak.
Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, John.
Where I am, I don't have access to a Bible, so I can't read the scriptures with you.
All right. Well, listen, I'll read the scriptures, and then I'll ask you some questions you can't hardly answer, okay? That'll work. Let's go to, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things to Christ that which strengthens me. And so here I read that because I know that this has not been a good pledge week, and some of the folks here are kind of they're feeling very low because it's been tough. But we know the economy is not good. But like the Apostle Paul said, you know, you're going to have, we can abound and we can be debased. So we have to learn to whatever state we're in that it's not about us. It's about doing the Lord's work. So whether we're hungry or whether we're full, that doesn't matter. The matter is to keep going because the cause is a righteous cause. And so, John, I'm going to go pick up where we left off last night. The title of the message this week was Making Your Salvation Sure. And we left off in Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 11, okay? So, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, he's talking about the nation of Israel, and he's referring to the fact that they were rebellious. And so now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And so here the setting aside of Israel, why the Gentiles are receiving divine favor, and there are those out there in replacement theology that think that that's a final solution. It's not. It's not. But it's only for this present age. After the fullness of the Gentiles come in, then the fullness of restored Israel will be even more rich during the millennial kingdom. And then we go ahead to verse 13. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Okay. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And so he's making two points here. The reconciling of Israel back to God is indeed folks, it's associated with one, the resurrection of Israel as a nation. Where do we find that? We find that over in Ezekiel 37, verses 11 through 14. You know, where you talk about the bones coming together and the bones standing up, the dry bones. And then also about the bodily resurrection of all those that died in the faith. In Isaiah 26, he refers to that, in Hosea 6, and of course, Revelation verse 20, or chapter 20. And so, he goes on to say, for if the casting away of them, I read that, for if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and there'll be a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the trouble thee, but the root thee. Then wilt thou say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in? Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, and not by high-minded by fear. For if God spared not the natural branch, take heed lest he should also not spare thee. Now, he's making a point there. When he spared not the natural branch, he spared the net not because of their unbelief. And they've been set aside at this point. And he's making the same point there that bear in mind, think about this. You better make sure your salvation is sure. You saw what happened with Israel. You know, Israel, John, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, Israel thought, I mean, they look, you know, we're God's chosen people, right? We're going to, and when John the Baptist came preaching to them, and when Jesus came preaching to them, remember what they were telling Jesus? Look, we're the sons of Abraham, right? And Jesus told them, no, you're not. And so the Apostle Paul is making a point here, too, that just like those that deceive themselves, do you think there's a whole lot of professing Christians out there today? In fact, do you think the majority of those that are professing Christians today are really not saved?
Well, you're absolutely right, Pastor Ernie, and it's a warning in the Word. It's to search yourself to make sure that you're in the faith. Examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith, because Israel was cut off because of unbelief. And that'll happen to those that have that same attitude in the church or whatever. Well, the visible, I don't know what you call a church, Pastor Ernie. You know, the apparent church.
Did Jesus not say, many are called, but few are chosen, many come, but few will enter? And I got to give let me give the numbers out tonight. 888 phone lines. Folks, we need to hear from you tonight. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. This is our last night of Pledge Week, and we don't even have 2 hours left to raise the money to try to stay on your station for all of next month. So if you want to hear, if you don't want to hear from us, that's all right. We understand. But 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. We definitely got to hear from you, because this has been the worst week this year, John, the worst Pledge Week we've had this year, John.
It seemed to be going pretty well, wasn't it, Pastor Ernie, the previous weeks and months?
Yeah, we've been doing okay up till this month. And I know the economy is bad, because I'm hearing from a lot of people that are really hurting out there. But so then Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Well, if we have not, it's not because we're not asking, because we're definitely asking. So it's 888-677-9673 is the number, or 888-281-1110. Now, Again, you know, I just read where the Apostle Paul says he learned to be hungry and learned to be full and hungry. He learned to abound and be abased. And that's just what, you know, we hold to it. If it don't come in, it doesn't come in. And you know, that's just, it is what it is. But it's not about us, is it? We continue. It's just like when you're a Christian soldier, folks. Even if you're low on food and low on ammunition, you continue to fight. And that's what we do here. We continue to fight. And so now, I want to go pick it up where we left off. He says this, "Behold, therefore, in verse 22, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward the goodness. If thou continue in goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." So he was talking about Israel and their rebellion, against God, how God had cut them off. Now, the setting aside of Israel, is not permanent. When you listen to the replacement theologians out there, they're telling us that God is finished with the nation of Israel. And now the church, we are the new Israel. But that doesn't square with God's word, the Bible, in any way, shape, or form, does it?
Well, it's very interesting, Pastor Ernie, because it right there, it's talking about Israel and that we are grafted in as believers. It's very interesting. And if you read on there in the chapter, it talks about all Israel shall be saved.
That's what I mean.
The fullness of the Gentiles comes in, all Israel shall be saved.
Do you think maybe that the replacement theologians have Bibles that don't have this passage in it?
Well, Pastor Ernie, let me ask you a really serious question. The existence of the nation of Israel today, with Jerusalem as the capital, they speak Hebrew, they have shekels for money. Is that any way associated with the prophetic word of God?
Let's do that one more time, because I had been distracted. Say that again.
All right. The nation of Israel had been out of existence for 1,878 years, from 70 AD until 1948. And all of a sudden, it's back as a nation. Jerusalem's the capital. They speak Hebrew. They have shekels for money. The rebirth of the nation of Israel, is that part of Bible prophecy?
It kind of sounds like a fig tree blooming, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of scriptures about God saying he's going to bring them back. Ezekiel 36, 37, 38 there, I bring you not back for your own sake, but for my sake, I'm going to bring you into the land.
Absolutely. Let's go on here. Oh, praise the Lord. We want to say Tom in Detroit pledges 100. Elena in New Jersey pledges 1,000. Susan in New York pledges 40. And Jane in Georgia pledges 50. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Boy, we finally got this some pledges coming in. Let me give those numbers out there again. It's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Thank you. Thank you. We need to hear from you. Now, verse 23, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." And so he's saying that God's, when we read over in Zechariah chapter 13, the last verses there, verse 8 and 9, Israel, one-third true Israel, they declare they've been grafted back in. They're referring to the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior Messiah, aren't they?
Right. And that's the third that's present when Christ returns. And that's when the scripture says all Israel shall be saved.
Amen.
We are the ones that are ushering him in at his second coming, Pastor.
"For if thou were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted unto their own olive tree? Okay, so will both the Jews and the Gentiles be one in Christ?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so here, that's very interesting when he refers to blindness. Israel has been judicially blinded, haven't they?
Yeah, and Isaiah chapter 6 talks about that very thing, Pastor Ernie, about the blindness of Israel. And it's basically because of unbelief, and they refuse. Well, it wasn't only the Lord. I mean, they gave the prophets a hard time. And Pastor Ernie, when you look at it, I mean, that's the sin nature that we all have.
But when he says, but only in part, it says in part, is that only because only some of the branches have been broken off? He goes on. Go ahead.
No, not only in part. Well, I mean, because if it was complete blindness, none could come to the Lord as their Savior. So that's the way I see it, that there's a... their blindness, but it's not full blindness. They because Jews come to the Lord, Pastor Ernie, as their Savior.
That's happening more and more nowadays. This is a sign of the end times, isn't it? So when he's speaking about the fullness of the Gentiles, okay, he's referring to the end of the sixth dispensation period?
Yes, okay, absolutely.
And so when he says this, that And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Boy, you have today, you have quite a bit of anti-Zion rhetoric out there, and we're seeing quite a bit of division within the within the right and with the righteous and the unrighteous, aren't we? Within each side,
God is manifesting hearts, Pastor Ernie. We're finding who really is anchored in the Lord, believes the Word, things like that, and who isn't. I mean, it's really becoming clear quickly, very fast.
Alrighty, he goes on, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins, and as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. And here, nobody, they didn't turn my clock on in my studio, so I'm having a hard time figuring out, but I got, all right, I got 2 minutes. I'll just use my watch, all right? Okay, now, he goes out, and he says this. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, whereas you in times past have not believed God, yet you now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so, these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon them all. Now, we're seeing some today, I mean, professing, many of those that are professing Christians today in this country, really turning on the nation of Israel. Again, I mean, and we're seeing those that you might say on the right, social media, like this radio program and others, that for the most part, you know, we're backing Israel, but we're seeing others that have been with us And most, you know, most right down the line, now they've gone and they're actually backing the Palestinians and not Israel. And so we're seeing a big split. And we're seeing the same thing on the left. They're split. They're split big time between Israel and the Palestinians. We're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, we have a whole lot of stuff. Maybe we'll start off right there and talk about that. So whenever you're ready, just jump to it. Just jump to it.
Remember learning how a bill became a law?
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill.
Well, Issue 1 is trying to make our laws using a different kind of bill. 58 million of them. From George Soros, New York millionaires, foreign billionaires, and even blood money from partial birth abortionists. And all that money bought a lot of ads to deceive Ohio voters.
It also protects the essential reproductive medical care, like the miscarriage care that saved my own life, and access to birth control.
No, Issue 1 was not about miscarriage care or birth control. It was about abortion until birth and bringing back partial birth abortion into our state. But Issue 1 violates our state and federal constitutional right to life, which, according to Article 1, Section 1 of our Ohio Constitution, is inalienable. That's what our legislators swore to uphold. As the Supreme Court stated in the Dobbs decision, it's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives, not to the mob with the most money. Just as we wouldn't put slavery to a popular vote, no matter the mob and no matter the money, inalienable rights and our children are not for sale to the highest bidder. While the courts are able to issue rulings, our state constitution grants the authority of the court's jurisdiction, that is, what they're allowed to rule on, to the state legislature. So while the pro-aborts are right now picking their favorite judge to strike down our protective laws, Article 4, Section 18 makes it clear. The jurisdiction of the courts is directed by law. The Constitution specifically says reining in out-of-control courts is the legislator's job. So let's call on the legislators to do their job, to use their constitutionally granted right to represent us and to keep pro-abortion judges from repealing Ohio laws based on an amendment that doesn't even mention a single Ohio law. You see, the national strategy of the abortionists is to roll over the will of the people and our inalienable rights, just like they did in Michigan, Vermont, California, and they're planning to do all across the nation. But there is one state that is saying no. Foreign billionaires don't get to crush the will of the people and our inalienable rights. Representative Jen Gross and Bill Dean are standing against the abortion machine. Are you willing to stand with them? Ask your representative and senator, are you willing to use your constitutionally granted tools to stop the abortion machine? Or are you just going to talk about it? Make your first call to Senate President Matt Huffman. Then call on those in the State House to stand for the Constitution and prevent the courts from stripping us of all our laws and our inalienable rights.
All right. Thank you, Jan. And that young lady who, and I have been working together in legislation for years, and I mean years. I'm a tad bit older than her, but at least for 30 years with her. I've been doing it for 50 years, working out there. And here now, John, here's what she's saying, which is this was our plan B. This was our plan B. We know that all that dirty money was coming in. From out of state, from California, from out of the country, actually, billionaire bucks. And it was to buy death, to buy death. Now, here's the question. In this state of Ohio, do we have enough people that's got enough gumption in them, enough life in them? You know, we just talked about here with those that were cut off in Israel, they were grafted out and the branches were broken off because of their unbelief. John, do you think we have enough here and people in Ohio that have got, well, that are saved, that are really saved? Because if they are, do you think we can activate them? And because we're going to be moving between now and November of 2024, we're going after the corruption. We're going after the election fraud and the voter fraud. It's going to be an all-out battle. God raised us up to run to this battle. Now, if we can get to motivate the people in the state of Ohio to call their state representatives and say, look, here, we are more important than out-of-state money, and we know what's happened here in Ohio. We have what they call the 22 blue rhinos. We have 22 blue rhinos that were Democrats that ran as Republicans, and we warned people about that. But we can still overcome that. We still have enough. If we can get the people here in Ohio to stand up, call their state representatives and say, look, you're going to make the laws and make the courts. The courts have to abide by the laws that you make. And if we can get them to understand that to do exactly what the Constitution says, we can stop the bloodletting, the killing of the innocent. We can stop the mutilation of the young children. We can restore parental rights to the parents. We're up. We're fighting. That legislation, that bloody money came right from the pit of hell. And I'm telling you this too, John, the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Liars Union, they're right in the same category with Planned Predators. They are evil. There's nothing about them, nothing, no good at all. There is no good at all. You're not going to find any trace of anything good, clean, and decent. They are completely and totally corrupted. And folks, unless you'll stand up and fight like Christian soldiers with your eyes on a cross, you don't deserve any better. You really don't. Right, John?
Well, Pastor Herney, this is like now or never, and we can cross a line with the Lord that could be maybe no turning back. I mean, if this law is not challenged and overturned and hindered and all, I mean, what if we don't care, if the state of Ohio doesn't care, then what's the Lord to do about that, Pastor Ernie? He works with us. When we stand, he has our back, and he works with us. But if we don't stand, then what?
Well, you're exactly right. That's why he tells us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Deceiving, exactly. Deceiving yourself, right? And then when you have these people say, well, now, you know, God, you know, look, I go to church. I give God an hour on Sunday morning. He should be satisfied with that. You know, the rest of the day is mine. Is that a strong delusion that they're having?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like mental assent in your mind. That's all a mind thing, Pastor Ernie. That's not of faith, not of the heart.
Amen. Let's go. We have Sherry in Michigan pledges $10. Ruth in Illinois pledges $20. Karen in Pennsylvania pledges $50. And Rosemary in Pennsylvania pledges $50. Thank you. Wow, look at that. Wait a minute. I'm looking down here. Listen to this. You're starting with Tom is the only one who's a man. I got Tom in Detroit for $100, but Elena, Susan, Jane, Sarah, Ruth, Karen, Rosemary, and they're all women. And now Anonymous, I don't know what Anonymous is, but it's $40 pledges. Thank you. Don't you have an audience? Don't you have some canned applause there? No canned applause? Okay. Well, can't you maybe just clap your hands or something? All right. That's better than nothing, I guess. All right. All right. There you go, folks. You know what, John? You know what I'm going to do? I said I wasn't going to do it, but we are doers of the word. We're not hearers only. Now, I've already pledged 1,000 three times this week. Three times this week I've pledged 1,000, and I said, that's my limit, okay? But do you know what I'm going to do? Because we are doers of the word, and because the cause is a righteous cause, and so I'm just going to step out in faith, and I'm going to pledge one more 1,000. So put me down for another 1,000 for this. We've got to do it. We've got to do it here. So now I'd like to find people that would match my 1,000, and Elena pledges 1,000. Can we find some matches for her 1,000? Can we find some matches for my 1,000 tonight? So there you go, folks. There's your challenge. We're running to this battle. John, we've got a...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Stephanie, can I add some to what you're saying?
Yeah.
the reason that Pastor Ernie has to do this is the information he provides to you. If he had sponsors, the hard left here, communists and whoever else, would attack the sponsors. So for him to be able to be totally free to bring information that perhaps no one else will, he has to depend upon donations from the listeners. And that's why it's so important that you give, because he then is free to bring all the information to you that you very well might not hear anyplace else. Right, Pastor Ernie?
Well, that's right. But we do have businesses. We have a number of businesses that do support us, people that own their own businesses. But the problem of it is, if we were to go ahead and give their names out, you know, for doing that, then they would be. They'd be attacked. Their windows would be broken and things, because they hate us. The Communist Party hates us. You know, when Mr. Bloomberg buys up Christian stations just to get us off the air, it shows you what they think of us, okay? And so, and it's because, you know, the interesting thing was, because, John, you know, over the years they've tried to take us down. In fact, they have taken us down through electronic means. You know, there's different ways where that they can somehow get in and jam our station, jam our signals, and then people call us from all over saying, you're being jammed here, like there's something we can do about it here, okay? But, you know, they, in all of this time, I don't know of anyone, in fact, in all of the different stations and that I've listened to, they've told us that no one ever gets jammed or attacked like we do, okay? Now, so, when I was complaining to the higher-ups here in Salem, here was their answer. Well, it's because of the content of your program. I said, no kidding. It's because of the content of my program. Well, why do you have us on this program? Because of the content of your program. We need. Right? And so, anyhow, Janice in Minnesota pledges 20, and Barbara in Pennsylvania pledges 200. This is amazing. All of these ladies out there. This is amazing. All of these ladies out there. Well, God bless them. God bless. Wow, you know, compared to the opposition out there, I can tell you, compared to those women on The View, and I'll tell you who else. Recently, John, let me see, where's that? I just read an article, and here it is. I got it. You'll never guess who's helping to fund and coordinate the radical pro-Hamas protests happening all across America right now on the college campuses. Okay, and so people say, it's not George Soros, although no one would be surprised if it was in some way. No, this is being done by former Code Pink, and I've changed her name to Stinky Pinkies, okay? From now on, folks, Code Pink is Stinky Pinky. Don't forget it. Make sure they know. Now, John, a few years back on a hot summer day, we went to D.C., and we were there out in the yard in the park across from the Senate, and we were having a number. There was probably, oh, I don't know, about 50 pastors, and we were there to promote some pro-family, pro-life and pro-family legislation. And I was being interviewed by the local media there, okay, and as I was being interviewed, here come these women, and they were dressed in these long dresses, hot summer day, and they had these big pink hats on, and they come up to, they wanted to be interviewed too, and I'm not kidding you, they walked right up standing next to me, John, and they had body odor like you wouldn't believe. It was like they had been in those clothes for a week, and even the woman who was interviewing me had to kind of step back a little bit. And that's when I started calling them Stinky Pinky. boy, I'm going to tell you, it was something. But there you go. That's those women that dress in those very strange clothes. Have you ever seen them?
I can't say I have, Pastor Ernie, but I've seen very strange women in particular at the abortion centers defending the killing of the babies.
Yeah, well, most all of them. I don't think any of the... I don't think I've ever met one of the death squirts, those women out there that go and stand out there that weren't lesbian. I've never met one that wasn't a lesbian. Have you?
Well, I know there's a lot of them. You know, I can't say every one of them, Pastor Ernie, but a lot of them that I came across, yes, they were unusual amount. And I also came across atheists in Pennsylvania there when I was at the abortion center. There was a lot of atheists there, atheists and homosexuals.
Well, this is a strange one here. We actually had here in Cleveland, we had some atheists coming out that were pro-life. They didn't believe, but they were pro-life. And so that was really strange, wasn't it?
Did you ever talk to them about it?
Yeah, yeah.
What was their reasoning?
Well, their reasoning was common sense is to kill a child. It's wrong to kill people. And that a child, you see, when the left was telling you that it's not a child, it's not alive. It's not alive. And so my question was, if it's not alive, then why kill it? If you can't, right?
That's a pretty good one.
Can you ever kill somebody that's not alive? And I said, just leave it be. If it's not alive, what's your problem? Of course, they didn't have an answer for that. So anyhow, there you go. All right, 888-281-1110, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I don't think I can remember a time doing this when everyone that called in tonight, with the exception of one, are ladies. And praise the good Lord for the ladies out there tonight. They're pulling us through here. So now, Joe Biden's federal officers go to rural Idaho and shoot a homeless man in a wheelchair 11 times. Pardon?
Yeah. And apparently, like, the charges were dropped on him, or they were misdemeanor charges with no jail time or something, and he was shot. He was shot a lot. And I think one of them hit his spine. I mean, there was a number of bullets in him, and one hit his spine, and he's paralyzed now.
Yep. And the federal thugs, those cowardly thugs, they used a devious trick to get him out where they could shoot him. Here's a guy in a wheelchair. He comes out. The Gateway Pundit reported on the multiple ways Joe Biden's federal thugs have unleashed war on the American people, particularly Trump supporters. Now video has revealed the moment they shot a white homeless man in a wheelchair after using a dirty, dirty, dirty trick to lure him and his family out into the open. The Daily Mail and the Idaho Statesman obtained footage of the horrific scene Tuesday. The incident originally happened back in May of this year. The incident was coordinated by multiple federal cowards, including the Bureau of Land Management and the United States Forest Service. The clip shows officers arresting Brooks Roberts' brother, Timber, and holding him close to an unused school bus where the brothers lived and with their mother, Judy, in the Payette National Forest just outside of Boise. They had been left homeless and forced to live off the grid in the aftermath of the COVID pandemic. There you go. That's what you have. Now, showed...
It was only for a misdemeanor, Pastor, and isn't that correct?
Yeah, yeah. But we have...
I don't...
John, have you seen that movie, Police State?
No, I have not.
Okay. Let me tell you, we showed that in our church, and we showed it at the Tea Party meeting. And I'm going to tell you, it is... Boy, I'm going to tell you, when people left there, they were angry. They were angry at our corrupt, so extremely corrupt federal government. It shows you now, through the Freedom of Information Act, they were able to get the actual film footage that the FBI used. The FBI, when they made their raids, we got their film footage. And now what they did is showed you, here's a family, a pro-life family sitting in their kitchen table, and they come. Instead of knocking on the door, they just automatically break the door down, and these stormtroopers, these jackbooted cowards, go running in, pointing guns in the faces of little children, and the little children are screaming and frightened and just destroying property. They want to put the fear of Satan in these pro-life Christians, and that's exactly what they're. What they're up, and this is under Biden's orders. Go and scare those Christians. And of course, I saw Chris Ray being lying again. Chris, I'm so angry when you see this. This guy sits there with that little smirk. And John, he was asked, okay, about the. Well, let me see. I have an article here about the bus. You've heard about the bus, right?
The ghost bus?
Yeah. Chris Ray gets caught up. Representative Higgins releases photos of the January 6th ghost buses. Chris Ray denied that there were any such thing, and here they are. They showed them. They've got all of these slimy. You know, it used to be, one time I remember, I had friends in the FBI. They were good people. They had some honor, some decency, some integrity. Today, I can tell you, if someone sold to me today they worked for the FBI, I don't know if I'd want to have anything to do with them. Although I do know that there's still a lot of field agents that feel the way we do. But, boy, they've just been dirty, haven't they?
Well, that's I've seen that, Pastor Ernie. It's coming from the top down, and as the people retire, the ones they're hiring are they're looking for woke people, literally. They're looking for woke agents. And, of course, the woke agents have no morals. They have no boundaries. The Constitution means nothing to them, nothing. Brute force is what they're for.
So how does that affect field agents, real people that are patriots like you and I that have families and children, and they're living and people find out and boy, your dad is an FBI agent. Boy, we know about them. How does that affect the family of decent people?
Well, it's very uncomfortable, Pastor Ernie. It's like, I remember, of course, you vividly remember your Pennsylvania there, because you were backing me.
And oh, yeah.
We had those run-ins with the police and with the district attorney, and we eventually won in federal court. But so you have the mayor who is totally in the pocket of Planned Parenthood. So he appoints a chief that is totally, you know, following Planned Parenthood. And that chief is going to promote and appoint captains and all. So the whole top of the York police was corrupt. And so how does that, the average cop there that's doing his job, how do they feel working under corruption like that?
Yeah, you know, I know what you mean. So, you know, we have to pray for the good guys and ask the good Lord to remove or bring the cowboys, I can't believe how somebody could do that, how these guys could do that, bust into homes, tear people's houses out, you know, without, and what's going to happen, like in that song that we sing, It's Hard to Be Right When the Government's Wrong, in that song they talk about how that's going to come back, those very same guys that are breaking into the homes of the patriots, the homes of the Christians, the time is coming when it's going to be their homes and their families to get terrorized because of what they're doing. And if there's any of them out there listening tonight, you better think about that. I want to say Barbara in PA pledges 200. Felicia in New York pledges 100. Hey, we got a guy here. Joe in New York pledges 100. Another guy, Ron in Ohio, pledges 20. And Melanie in Texas pledges 100. There you go. All righty. But you know what? The women are out pledging the guys big time. All right, 888-677-9673, 888-281-1110. Let me read this article very quickly, John. On Wednesday, Republican Representative Clay Higgins, Republican, confronted FBI Director Chris Wray on FBI operatives working inside the crowds on January 6th during the House Homeland Security Committee hearing on domestic threats with the U.S. The confrontation took place exactly 1 year from Representative Higgins confronting Director Wray for the FBI assets working inside the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. See, the real insurrection was done by dirty cops, wasn't it? The real insurrection.
It was, Pastor Ernie. They were, the expression is agent provocateurs.
And so, Chris, that's exactly what they are. And here, Chris Wray refused to answer the questions last year and today, too, during a hearing today. What if we had a Justice Department, if we actually had a Justice Department, Chris Wray would be in jail, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and so would most of the Justice Department.
Yeah, well, today, again, that's the problem. We don't have one. It's been taken over. You're infiltrated. This is treason, what you have. This is why they fear Trump so much. This is why, because he's going to clean up the swamp. And this is why people are asking me all the time, Pastor, are we going to have a civil war? I don't know. Unless the Lord intervenes. Unless God intervenes, I think we're going to have a civil war. I don't know. What do you think, John?
You know, there's something could trigger it. Because it's like there's such wrong. There's such evil that's obvious. There's such two levels of justice and what they're doing. Like at January 6th, and the way that they're arresting people and holding them in jail for, 1,000 days and not trying them. I mean, this can only go on for so long, Pastor Ernie. Because then the people were broken. We're no longer respecting the government anymore. It's pure brutal force that they try and use to control us.
Well, when the government goes corrupt, then we can't. We can't give them legitimacy. The Bible said it would be a sin, Proverbs chapter 24 and others, for us to give legitimacy to illegitimate governments, right?
Well, what they are is brute force. You know, normally you respect the government and everything kind of flows good. But now, when it's weaponized, when they promote evil, for example, like the Antifa, right? Isn't the FBI cut? Pastor Ernie, how many of these Antifa people, and Black Lives Matter, they burnt so many cities down and stores and, I don't know, people were killed and all. How many of them went to jail?
Well, you know, that's because you had Kamala Harris making sure that they didn't go to jail. She posted.
She was part of raising bail money?
Yeah.
That was her. All these Black Lives Matter and Antifa, she was part of some group that would raise money to bail them out. So if
they're called communists. Communists, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the problem, Pastor Ernie. They're not legitimate anymore. So all they are is brute force thugs. It's not the rule of the law. It's their brute force that is what's in charge of the government now.
So this is high treason. We're seeing high treason, and that's what it is. And so, again, this is why we're here tonight. This is why people need to have, because we're exposing it. And if it wasn't for us, people would never hear the truth out there if it weren't for programs like this one. Be right back. Going to a break.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills. I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.